welcome to the meeting of the San Francisco Ethics Commission. I'm going to take roll call first. Commissioner Hansen?
Present.
Commissioner Herr?
Here.
And Commissioners Studley and Commissioner Ward are excused. So moving to item number 2 on the agenda, public comment on matters appearing or not appearing on the agenda. Is there any public comment this evening?
Hi, my name is Christina Nia. I'm a candidate for supervisor in District 10. I'm not sure which agenda item is Ed Donaldson's matter.
It's the very next one.
Okay. So I simply wanted to ask, as a fellow candidate, that you extend him every courtesy possible, that we are interested in running a competitive race and winning against the best candidate. So we hope that he will get approved for public financing and be able to compete vigorously in the race.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other public comment? Okay, we'll move to item number 3 on the agenda, which is the consideration of candidate appeals. And we're looking at 2 in particular. The executive director denied the applications of both Matt Drake and Edward Donaldson to participate in the public finance program. The executive director did so because of their failure to file a statement of participation by the deadline of August 6, 2010. Both Mr. Drake and Mr. Donaldson here? Okay, so why don't we take them, we'll take them in alphabetical order, and I'll hear first from Mr. Donaldson.
For the record, my name is Edward Donaldson, and I am a candidate for District 10 supervisor. First off, I just want to state that taking a look at the director's memo in regards to the characterization of the issue before you guys, I think it is not the same issue that I'm here to address today, because the issue that I would like to raise, and I've raised to Sheikh, was that I had actually filed the intent to participate or the participation form with the commission. And I did so at the time that I had originally filed my intent paperwork. So when presented with that challenge or with the opportunity to sign the paperwork and file it, I did so.
When did you do that?
I believe it was January 4th, 2010. So, I mean, but just to kind of, I just wanted to state a few other things. I've been one of the strongest advocates for public campaign finance and the use of it, in particular in District 10, where we have a lot of public interest money that's coming into the district, attempting to influence the outcome of the election. I did so by launching what was called the Clean Money Campaign for District 10 on Facebook, where we were able to kind of get the word out early about the influence of special interest money and how it could sway the outcome of the election. And I did so in an effort to, because of my understanding of what district elections are about. You know, when you have neighborhoods, you know, such as Bayview, Viz Valley, Petrel Hill, it's for the electorate to decide who their elected officials should be. So, you know, and I think in many ways I've contributed to, I believe, what, 13 people or so who actually applied for public campaign finance in District 10. I think some of those people were not interested in it and was not intending to file. And I think because of some of the efforts that we made way ahead of time to get the word out about, you know, the significance of a person opting out of public campaign finance, I think we have the result that's before us today, where 13 people have filed. And it's sort of kind of ironic that here I am, the person who advocated for it, is now being told that on a technicality for a form that I know I completed, that they don't have it, and that I have completed every other requirement that has been expected of me in this race. It's just seemed kind of weird. And, you know, it sort of kind of speaks to the, and I kind of look at it as a mistake, so to speak, on my part, in that I assumed that the ethics department would be a good steward of the file, and that's not the case. But, you know, it came a point when, you know, I sensed that something was amiss when I did receive an email from the ethics department stating that I had not completed the training, the mandatory training, which I had completed. And it wasn't until I had a conversation with Ms. I can't pronounce your name. Shikes. That we were able to clear up that matter, which kind of speaks to, one, that folks are busy. You know, folks got a lot of stuff on their hands during this election cycle. And that there was a possibility that if there was a mistake made in this instance, that there very well could have been a mistake made in having lost that piece of paper. There was another situation when, with the Department of Elections, I received a phone call from a person at the Department of Elections saying that she had understood that I was interested in withdrawing my candidacy, and it was just a complete shock. I had never talked to the Department of Elections about withdrawing my candidacy, but here it was. I was receiving a phone call from them, assuming I had withdrawn my candidacy. So, which kind of speaks to, you know, maybe it's someone somewhere who doesn't want to see me in this race. I don't know. But the final question I would want to ask, or maybe a couple more, another question before summarizing is, I have to ask, is that why would I go through this whole process of being an advocate for public campaign finance, going through all the paperwork requirements that's been expected of me, to arrive at this point where one piece of paper could be the single thing that holds me back from qualifying? So just to kind of summarize, I did in fact file the paperwork in January 2010. I distinctly remember doing so.
What was it that you filed in January of 2010?
The intent to apply for public campaign financing.
And did you do so by paper or electronically?
It was paper.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Thank you. And thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. Do you have any proof that you filed? This entire issue hinges on the date that you filed.
One of the disadvantages that I've had is that my office is currently being renovated, so I have a lot of stuff in storage. So I've done as best as I can to kind of track the document down, but I have not been able to do so. And I don't know if I actually have a copy of it. It may have been a situation where I just turned it in, assuming that it would be okay and that it would just be there in the file.
Ms. Shea, can you speak to this issue, please?
Sure. I spoke to Mr. Donaldson early last week, and last Monday he told me that he said that he had filed a statement of participation earlier in the year, and I said I'd double check, but we have no record. And he said that he did have a date stamped copy, and I asked him to provide it, but he mentioned the situation he's in, that he's. I think you mentioned that your campaign offices have moved and that that your copy is in storage. So I suggested that he had a deadline to appeal, which was Tuesday. So I suggested that if he couldn't find his date stamped copy of the form, that he may want to request an appeal of the executive director's decision so he doesn't lose his right to appeal. And in the meantime, if he found his form afterwards, he could give it to me later in the week, but I didn't receive any copy at all last week, but, and so we came forward.
Point of clarification, in our conversation, I stated that I may have a copy of it, which I'm not certain of.
How is it that you know that you filed it on January 4, 2010?
Well, it's just one of those things when presented with it, and I knew that being an advocate for public campaign financing, for transparency in the process and everything, when confronted with the opportunity to do so, it just made sense for me to sign it. And I distinctly remember doing so.
Can I say something? When I spoke to Mr. Donaldson last week, he did say that he filed the form when he first filed a form with our office. So I checked our database, and I found that he had filed a 501, which is a candidate intention statement, with our office in February 2010. And I told him that there was no other form filed on that date with us. This morning, I checked the Department of Elections candidates list, and I found that Mr. Donaldson had filed a declaration of intention with that department on January 4th,
2009.
2009?
Yes. 2009 or 2010?
The list actually said 2009.
It should be 2010.
The what was filed, what was it exactly that was filed with elections?
But it's a declaration of intention to solicit or accept contributions. And that form is required with the Department of Elections under the Elections Code before any candidate can raise or spend any money. And
so it's something separate from the statement of participation?
Correct. And that was to address the issue of the statement of participation. Mr. Donaldson also mentions an issue relating to the training dates. I held a formal training in January, May, and July of this year, and I had one more scheduled for August. And what I asked the training officer to do was to give me a list of everybody who had not yet attended a training, and then to send out a personalized email to all those candidates to let them know that they have not attended a training. As a result, Mr. Donaldson attended on August 19th. We still had a few candidates who had not attended the August 19th training, so I scheduled one more for September 2nd, and the training officer used the same a list that she had used earlier to notify candidates about the August 19th training. So it's not that we weren't aware that he had attended, because we had the sign-in sheet on which he signed in. We had a form from him saying that he attended the August 19th training, but she just sent out the email to everybody to tell them, if you still haven't attended, we have one more scheduled.
I have a copy of the email. It actually went out to three people. It said that I was one of three candidates who had not attended. If you guys want to see the email.
It's actually not relevant to the appeal.
Well, I think it's relevant to the possibility that there was a mistake made, that the document may have been lost. You know, I mean, subject to human error.
Were there any other candidates who filed the statement of participation in as early as January of 2010?
Early as January 2010. I don't know that. I haven't done that research.
Johnson, when did you first become aware that you hadn't filed the document, or that
after
the commission thought it had not been filed?
After I went through the entire process, submitting donations and everything, hiring a treasurer, I went through the whole process.
Do you remember the date or approximate date?
There was an email, I want to say September 2nd, 2010. I received an email stating that I was ineligible because of this form being missing.
I thought, Mr. Donaldson, that when you filed your declaration on August 24, 2010, that you then submitted the participation form on that same day.
Well, I came down with my treasurer, and there were several forms that I did. He did ask me to sign. It may have been that one of them, one of those forms included with that. So I'm not questioning whether or not a form was actually signed at that time. That may very well be true, but what I'm stating is that I actually filed the statement back in January when I first came to the Ethics Department, first was presented with the opportunity to do so.
There are a lot of forms related to this, so how is it that you know that you filed the statement of participation, that particular form, in January? And why would you? It doesn't, frankly, it doesn't make sense to me that you would then re-sign the same form that you think you had already filed, and you would re-sign it on August 24, 2010.
Well, I'll address the first part of your question first. I mean, when confronted with the opportunity to sign the statement of participation, knowing that a full maybe 6 to 8 months ahead of that, I had been advocating for the use of public campaign finance. And as I said before, 13 candidates have applied for it. I believe 12 have been awarded. The fact that so many folks have elected to use public campaign finance because of the appearance that comes along with not accepting it and having, quote unquote, big money behind them. So I know distinctly, I remember it. It says statement of participation, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'll fill that out right now. Turn that in. Because I knew I wanted to participate in the program. And then to go through the process of hiring a treasurer and to go through everything that needs to be going through in terms of raising funds to have it all thrown away over a piece of one sheet of paper.
It's not thrown, yeah. There are rules that candidates have to comply with, and we don't make exceptions to those rules. We just enforce them. So it's not that anything's thrown away because of one sheet of paper. Either that statement of participation was filed timely, in which case you qualify, or else it wasn't, in which case you don't qualify. But it's not a question of, you know, having one piece of paper. It's whether or not the rules were complied with.
Point well taken, and that's why I'm saying that I filed it at the point of first contact with the ethics department. I know I filed it.
And were most of these shysta filed electronically or filed?
This is not a form that's filed electronically. Okay. It's only filed in paper form.
Mr. Donaldson, I understand that you told Shysta that you may have it in your records or in storage. Mm-hmm. Have you had an opportunity to look through that, or will you have such opportunity?
No, I pretty much went through all of the boxes that I
have
in storage. I couldn't
find it.
So I have a question for both Ms. Shake and the executive director. Does anything that you've heard here tonight change your recommendation?
I have a question for the city attorney's office. Just looking at the section, I just want to make sure I understand it. So there is no front-end deadline by when this statement of participation or non-participation has to be filed, meaning I'm looking at section B where it says the declaration by candidate cannot be filed earlier than 9 months before the date of the election. That does not apply to subsection A. Is that correct?
No, I'm actually going to let Steffi answer that one. They have
great
more familiarity with these
sure
deadlines.
Absolutely.
No, there is no earlier deadline. We just ask that the law doesn't provide an earlier deadline. It's just important that the form be filed by the 88th day before the election, which is the deadline for filing nomination papers. And this year it fell on August 6th.
Okay, but I guess just so that my question is clear, and I think the
where
answer
are you
is still the same.
From, Commissioner?
I'm reading from 1.142, subsection B, declaration by candidate, and it appears to only apply to that particular form. But it says that the declaration cannot be filed. It can be filed no earlier than 9 months before the date of the election, but no later than the 70th day before the election. Meaning that it appears that there is you can't file it too early limitation. Now, I think that just applies to B, subsection B, and not A, but I just want to make sure my understanding is correct.
Yeah.
Because if it were the case that there was that limitation in subsection A, even if it was filed in January 2010, it would still not be filed in the correct time period.
No, the earlier deadline of 9 months before the election, we've only applied that to the actual declaration for public funds.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I have a question for the executive director and possibly Ms. Shaikh. Is there any system that we have in place that records information as to when people file their forms, whatever those forms are, other than someone comes in, files a form, we date stamp the form, the person filing gets a copy of the form, we keep a copy of the form? Is there any other notation as to people coming into the office, turning in forms, any kind of backup system?
May I answer that? We have a campaign log. So staff enters every form that comes into our office into a campaign log. The name of the form is entered, the filing date, and the due date. We also attach the form in PDF format to this database system. And this database is a public system so that it's available on the internet to anyone who wishes to view it. And the database is accessible from the commission's homepage.
And I presume all of that was checked before the decision was made, and no record of submission of the form. Excuse me. Thank you. Second question is there any recollection on the part of staff with regard to the August 24th date when Mr. Donaldson came in and filed the two forms, which at that time would have been, by his understanding, the second time he filed the form, he was filing a new form as opposed to having available the form that he'd already submitted that was date stamped. Was there any discussion regarding the fact that he'd already submitted the form by him or by our staff?
No. The front office staff stamped in the paperwork, accepted it, just took in the paperwork. And August 24th was the very last day for anyone to apply for public funds. So we received several applications on that date. So as front office staff took in the applications, they put them in a tray for the auditors to review. And when the auditors looked at this particular application, they noted that the statement of participation was not filed by August 6th.
Okay, thank you. Can I ask Mr. Donaldson, it appears, as I said before, that the entire decision hinges on the date that you filed the form. And I understand that you're saying that you filed it in January. January is a very early time to file the statement. Correct. So I'm curious why you would have done it. I understand your support for public financing. But I'm not even sure, and this is maybe another question for the staff, as to how that information goes out to potential candidates that early. I think many people may not even be aware of the deadlines at that point. But that said, it's very hard for me to understand how we could come to a different conclusion without the copy of your form. And I know you've looked, but I just wonder if we give you another opportunity, is there any way at all that you could search for this form and produce it?
Well, I'll answer the first part of your question in regards to why I would file it so early, stopping short of reiterating, you know, my being a champion of public campaign financing. I've never run for elected office before. This is my first time. So, you know, for me, it was like being presented with the opportunity to do certain things. I just thought best to do it right then and there instead of having to come back, double back, forgetting stuff and whatnot, because I did understand that moving forward, things would become increasingly more busy. Mm-hmm. But there was another part of your question that eludes me.
Is there any way for you to possibly find the form if we give you some more time?
I can look again, but I'm not sure.
Do you feel like it's likely that there are files somewhere that you haven't been able to uncover? It sounds like you've been pretty thorough in looking for this.
Okay. Right. And I'm adamant about the fact that I know I filed it, because it said statement of participation in public campaign financing. I distinctly remember.
And Ms. Shake, what was it that was sent out that would have been received in early January that would have prompted a filing?
Well, it wasn't anything that was sent to me. It was just the fact that I knew I needed to go to the ethics departments to file my intent to run paperwork and, you know, whatever else, documents that needed to be filed, and presented it with it at that time. I took the liberty to file it.
Just to address your question, when we receive a list of potential candidates from the Department of Elections, we pretty much put those candidates on our radar so that we can send the candidates emails about upcoming workshops and to let them know about the manuals that exist and with our department. And we've also asked the Department of Elections staff to tell candidates that they should check in with our office with regards to their campaign finance filing requirements.
And I understand that you had checked and found that this intent to run statement was filed with the Department of Elections in February 2020.
No. There are two intent to run statements that are required, one under the Elections Code with the Department of Elections and one under the Political Reform Act with the Ethics Commission. The Ethics Commission intention statement was filed with us in February 2010. And according to the Department of Elections list, the intention statement with that department was filed on January 4th, 2009.
Right. So the January date that I'm referring to in the context of the Department of Elections is the February date that Ms. Shake is talking about.
Okay.
So that's when I came down to the Department of Ethics to fill out the necessary intent paperwork. And then at that time, the statement of participation for public campaign finance.
And so that was January 4th, 2010?
That was at the Elections Department.
No, it couldn't have been. So it was February of 2010.
Right. Mr. Donaldson just clarified that he filed the intention statement with the Ethics Commission in February 2010. Mm-hmm. About a month later, he filed his statement of organization.
So my point, why would I go through all of this? Why would I go through this process?
That question's easy to answer. Obviously, you wanted to run and wanted public financing. We have no doubt about that. The question is whether you've properly filed the proper forms at the right time. But the why is sort of easy. I can understand you're wanting to run and wanting to participate, and it's pretty clear that you did. It's sort of a separate question, though. Anyway, so Commissioner Hurd, Commissioner Hansen, any motions, suggestions?
If I could just make one last statement. I want to be clear, Mr. Donaldson, that we have every interest in trying to provide public financing to candidates. And I hope that you can tell that we're trying every way we can to figure out if there's some possible way for you to qualify. At the same time, it is true, as Commissioner Harriman said, we have deadlines. We have to come up with a deadline. We have to enforce a deadline. We have to be fair to all candidates. I doubt, certainly in my memory, we've never changed a deadline for a candidate. I mean, everybody kind of has to follow the same rules. So, as much as personally I would love for you to qualify, I can't see a way to do that.
Well, what's interesting in my conversation with Ms. Shake last week, I asked her, had you know the ethics department ever seen a situation like this? And her answer was no. And she said, usually it's the other way around, where people haven't raised the funds, you know, and you know, thus not being able to qualify. And she talked of this as being a unique kind of situation where you've done everything that you're supposed to do, but it's just this form.
Right.
So, you know, and you know, it's my belief that, you know, human error is in fact possible. And I think that's the case here. And I just ask that you guys take that into consideration.
I'm certainly sympathetic, Mr. Donaldson, to your situation. And just by hearing you, it sounds like, you know, you'd be a worthy candidate for District 10. But it doesn't seem like, I mean, you can sort of see it from a precedential standpoint, sitting in our shoes, I mean, you know, without any record evidence, it's difficult. It's impossible for us to distinguish your case from a case where someone doesn't file and never filed and comes and says ethics lost it. And unfortunately, that's the situation.
But I would say that the circumstantial evidence in regards to all of the efforts that were made to hire a treasurer, to raise money, to do all of that speaks to the fact that, you know, that all of the necessary paperwork was filed and filed in a timely fashion. I point to that.
Again, I'd have to agree with Commissioner Harriman that your intent and desire to run clear and why you wanted to run and your desire to meet all the requirements clearly were there. But I don't think I can see a good basis for making an exception to what seems to be a pretty clear rule.
So, Mr. Donaldson, you would need all three of us to unanimously agree that we ought to reverse the decision of the executive director. It's pretty obvious you just don't have that. I have to agree with both Commissioner Hansen and Commissioner Herr. I'm sorry you didn't qualify. I would have loved to have seen you qualify, but I'm not. In this case, I care less about you as an individual than what we need to do, which is enforce the rules, make sure everyone complies with the exact same rules, that it's a fair game for everybody. We don't have one set for someone and another set for somebody else. And if you could come up with a piece of paper that said, here you go, here's proof, it would be a different story, but you don't have that, and you're not giving us a basis to reverse the decision.
And I respect
director.
Your opinion. But when we talk about human error, we talk about the things that have happened in this process where, one, I receive an email saying that I haven't attended mandatory training, but I knew I did. This email was sent to three people in particular, so they knew who they were sending it to. The second thing, with the Department of Elections, being called by phone and said, we understand that you intend to withdraw your candidacy. And just being totally dumbfounded and baffled by the conversation and not having previously spoke to them and indicated that something is amiss with this process. Something is terribly wrong. And I understand that being an advocate for public campaign finance, being a person that you know, focused on social and economic justice within a highly impoverished neighborhood, you know, from which I originate from, is a thorn in someone's side. You know, I understand that. And I understand the difficulty that you guys have in terms of doing something otherwise than what you're considering. So, you know, it would be, you know, amazing if I got another decision. So, but I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, sir. We want to take public comment. If anyone wants to comment on before we go to Mr. Drake, why don't we hear? Well, actually, they're related issues. So let's hear from Mr. Drake, and then we'll take.
I'm in a very similar situation in terms of I can't find a piece of paper that the state stamps. And I'm confident I filed it, and it sounds very similar to Mr. Donaldson. It's very analogous. I'm confident I filed it. I've looked for it. I can't find it. I would reemphasize most of what he said, is that sometimes mistakes are made, and we make mistakes. You know, we both wish we'd kept a stamped copy at this point, but mistakes can't allow for the possibility that mistakes can happen on all sides. And in this case, for both Mr. Donaldson and myself, what's really happened is we filed it 2 weeks late. And that seems to be a procedural, it was a mistake. But at worst, it's a procedural mistake of 2 weeks. It's not a substantive error in terms of not raising the money. And it's only a procedural mistake that's being asserted, I guess you'd say.
Mr. Drake, when do you believe you filed your statement of participation?
You know, I don't have the piece of paper. I'm confident I filed it. I had the same story. As soon as I went into the Ethics Commission, I thought, well, I knew I was going to go for public financing. there was no need to wait. But then then I saw that it hadn't been done, and I thought, well, I might as well file it again just in case there's a mistake or I'm not looking at it right. Yeah, I could screw this up. And so then I filed it again, and it turns out that was late. Now, I've also looked. I can't find the stamped copy with the Ethics Department stamp on it that indicates when it was first filed. And obviously, if either Mr. Donaldson or I had that piece of paper, it'd be very different. But neither one of us do. And I can look again and look through my records and keep looking. But really, I look at it as it's not really a substantive issue. It's important, yes, but it's the kind of thing that can be corrected.
I think you've heard from the tenor of the commission, we are going to enforce the law as it's written. So we're not going to look at it as, okay, we'll just ignore that and say it came in within 2 weeks. It's a separate issue, though, is whether it was timely filed. And I have a question for Ms. Sheikh. Have you discussed with Mr. Drake whether or not he had timely filed?
Mr. Drake talked to Annalise Huang, one of the auditors. She's the auditor who sent the rejection letter by email. So because she had sent the email, Mr. Drake had talked to her, and there was no indication from the conversations that she had with Mr. Drake that Mr. Drake had ever filed this form. He this is the first time I'm hearing of that. In fact, Mr. Drake had told Ms. Huang, oh, come on, it's only 2 weeks. Like, it's a technicality.
Well, if I could, I remember in my conversation with her, I asked whether I could make substantive arguments substantive arguments before this, or whether my filing, I guess you would say, notice of the appeal would just be a notice, or if it would include a substantive argument. I used to be a lawyer, so and she said that it was just going to be it was just going to be a notice, and that was all I could do, and so that's why I didn't include any paper filing or any other documents. That's what I was told by her.
I believe the question was what you needed to do in order to request an appeal, and I told Annalise, all you had to do was just let us know you wanted to appeal. A simple one-sentence request by email from you would
right.
be acceptable, and that's what the question was.
Well, the question I was asking was whether I would be able to file a substantive document as opposed to just a notice of an appeal. I mean, that may be a legal technicality that I didn't do a clear enough job of specifying the legal. And I don't know if that is the procedure here, if you take actual substantive written documents or if just a notice of appeal.
It's sort of
way off the beaten path either way.
It's more that it's news, I guess, to the staff and to us that you're saying now that you previously filed the statement of participation.
It's the same, but I don't have the piece of paper, and I will look again, but I can't find it either.
And you have no recollection whatsoever as to what time period during which you may have filed this document?
I don't even know when the date was that I went to the Ethics Commission to file my first paperwork, so no.
But somehow you have a clear memory of actually filing it?
I remember filing it, yes. But obviously I'm asking you to go to your discretion, because your next question is going to be, do I have a paper copy? And I don't, or I can't find it.
My recommendation then for both Mr. Drake and Mr. Donaldson is we are not going to reverse the decision of the executive director tonight, but if you can go search, and if you find that you did in fact file a statement of participation, you've got it with a date stamp on it, as quickly as you can, please bring it in, because the staff has not yet even looked at your applications to see if you qualify for public financing. That would have to be the next step. So you would need to just move as fast as you can, and then they can reverse the decision or bring it back to us. We can act fairly quickly when need be. And we're always, so if we hear that you found that piece of paper, we'll act quickly. If we need to meet again, we will on short notice so that this process can move just as fast as possible. So is everyone in agreement with that?
I'm in agreement, and I would just add that I hope, whether you receive public financing or not, that you both will be able to continue to run.
I agree.
Do we need any kind of motion, Jack? I think so. Okay.
I just want to underline the last statement that you made for the commissioners and both candidates is, you know, if you find those forms, then we evaluate all of the contributions and everything. So there's another hurdle past this one, because without the forms, the staff didn't see if all the qualifying contributions.
Technically, one member of your staff has called me, and I have forwarded him a lot of information about the contributions.
At least
one member. And so he has the voter registration ID numbers and the copies of driver's licenses.
They started work on it, but when the realization
The reason why Mr. Drake was contacted, because just from a superficial review of the application, we could tell the majority of the backup documentation was missing. So we wanted to let him know that all that was missing. And if the commission, you know, were to ask us to review the application, we'd need that to begin our review.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so that's what I would suggest, is take a good hard look and as quickly as you can, because staff has its next step. And we'll do what we can if you find that.
Can I just make one more comment? You know, all due respect to Mr. St. Crux, my campaign or my treasurer is David Lumen, and he's been a part of San Francisco politics for a number of years. He's shared with me stories of number of cases where people have not followed all of the documentation requirements, and you know he can call them off by name. So I hear you what you're saying, but I don't know if it's a case where this commission or your department under your leadership always hold true to that. So, you know, I push back against that. And I just wanted to bring that up.
Well, Mr. Donaldson, I can tell you Commissioner Hansen's been on the commission for 5.5 years now, and I've been on for 4.5. And I think we, at least during our tenure, I think we can say that we've always held true to making sure people follow the rules as written.
Well, and I don't question that, but I just question his comment in regards to the other hurdles that needs to be cleared. So, and that hasn't always been the case.
I assure you, sir, when we review people's filings for these, we go through every contribution carefully, and if it doesn't work, we always work with the campaigns to try to fix them if they're fixable.
Okay, so which raises a point, though.
Yeah, so let's not.
Any problems at all with yours? In which case, it would go right through.
Right. So the question I have is that why would you take the time to work with the candidates in regards to contributions, but yet in a situation like this, there's no recourse, especially in a situation where the intent is clear?
Well, the law provides for candidates to provide resubmissions if the first review shows that they're lacking in the dollar amount threshold or number of contributors threshold.
It's written into the law. Yeah.
Well, I think it may be something to consider writing into the law that there's some kind of leeway or wiggle room that's put, you know, in the part in regards to this document too, because I think, you know, for folks to go through the process of jumping through every hurdle and then to end up at this point appearing before a commission about a single document, I think it's just kind of, it just defeats the purpose.
And I'll commit to that. When after every election cycle, we look at the program to see if there's any changes or tweaks
Need
to make. And this particular requirement will be one of the things we consider.
But I'm not saying get rid of the requirement, but at least, you know, put some type of amendments in it so that when it's clear in situations like mine, you know, Mr. Drake, where the intent is evident and clear.
Okay.
I think you guys would probably save yourself a lot of hardship in terms of, you know, having to talk to folks like me. So, because I'm a bulldog, I'm not going to stop. So.
Okay. Well, good luck to both of you. Actually, I hope you make your lives really easy and just find the dated statement of participation. At this time, I want to ask for any public comment.
I don't know
if it's proper for me to comment again.
Sure.
Okay. Christina Nia, candidate for District 10 Supervisor. Just for the record, in case it helps anybody's analysis, when I initially went to file my Form 142A, it was actually refused, and I was told that it couldn't be filed except in connection with the 42B and 42C. So I don't know if there was any miscommunication at any time about that, but I just wanted to offer that piece of information.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move to item 4 of the agenda, the minutes of the Commission's regular meeting of August 9 and the special meeting of August 26. Any comments or changes to those minutes?
I'll move that we adopt the minutes as written.
I second.
Okay. There's no public, so no public comment. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Moving to number 5, the Executive Director's Report.
We have a second set of minutes.
Did we
Okay, sorry. Thank you.
Just a couple of things. We've made progress on drafting changes to the campaign consultant ordinance. So we have a draft document prepared. We have scheduled interested persons meetings for November 18th and November 29th. November 18th from 5 to 7. November 29th from noon to 2. Depending on how those go, we may have more. So we're planning on bringing primary consideration of the campaign consultant changes to the commission probably in December. Depending on some of the stuff we had to hold over and how busy it gets. But that's our plan, so we'll be on track to do that.
Good.
This year. The target is to get it on the ballot for November 2011. Just as an FYI, the mayor's budget office has essentially taken 1% of every department's budget and put them on reserve, meaning we can't touch it. It doesn't go anywhere. But in order to access those funds, we have to get direct permission from the mayor's office. The idea is they're holding it against economic outlooks that aren't particularly rosy. For us, it means a total of $27,000, about $15,000 from salaries, about $5,400 from the net file contract, which we actually couldn't touch. We have to pay that. $1,500 from supplies, $3,000 from training, $3,000 from professional services. So we may have to make some of that. We may not. I was thinking about hiring some temporary help because it's very busy in the office these days. The staff is exhausted. But probably based on this, we may probably not.
How many interns from law schools, local law schools, do you get in the office, and how helpful are they?
Well, actually, when we can get them, they're pretty good, but they won't. Law school interns won't work in front desk. They want to work on cases. They don't want to. Right now, we have 3 interns, college-age interns, that are very good, but they're part-time. I'm trying to get couple more, even high school kids who can answer the phones in the afternoons would be helpful. So hopefully we can get in the next couple of weeks somebody for the semester. We always get plenty of good people in the summer. During the year, it's a little more problematic. And I think that's all I wanted to highlight.
Okay, any questions for our ED?
I have a question. On number 3C, with regard to BDR collections, my memory doesn't serve me in terms of previous discussions or decisions we made with regard to candidates running who have outstanding fines. I do recall that we discussed this, and I know that I've asked several times to have more kind of a clearer accounting of who's delinquent on our website so that it's particularly clear during election season. And I know that there is one candidate that I'm aware of who is running for supervisor currently, who's on this list. So can you refresh my memory as to what, if any, policies we have in place in terms of letting the public know that this person who's currently running has an outstanding fine?
It is on the website, and this is a public document. I don't know that we can, or if you would want to have a candidates that are, you know, in arrears or something section on the website. You know, if the commission wanted to do that so that we can sort of embarrass people, we could, I think.
It would make us look very non-neutral. Yeah.
I don't know the legal aspect of that. But the other information is out there. I'm not sure which. I know there's one candidate that was a candidate for supervisor, now running for school board. You're talking about
number seven, that is true, yes. But still running for office.
I had proposed in the past that you couldn't run for office if you had outstanding.
Yes.
We've talked about this before, so I don't want to make it too much of a substantive issue now, but it strikes me there's stuff that you could think about proposing, like it has to be in the candidate's statement or something like that, and we can amend the law to accomplish just what you're talking about, as long as we don't tread too heavily.
Could you ask John to...
Sure, I'm happy to have John or Andrew, or even I could take a look at that. What are you thinking of in particular? Are you thinking of something like a statement in the voter information pamphlet, or are you thinking of a...
Yeah. Yes, okay. That's sure. What I would think about. Some way that we can inform the public.
The stuff the public actually reads. As
sure,
opposed to
so some website. Sort of disclosure, not prohibiting anyone from doing anything.
Right.
Okay.
Not at this point, although... I guess I'd be interested in hearing, having some guidance on that as well. But more what I'm looking for is informing the public.
Okay. We can certainly look at that.
So, I'm sorry, do you have more questions?
Well, the other question I had is, we have had less discussion about this, but it connected, I think they, and I don't know if this is the case because I don't know current treasurers on current campaigns, but in terms of treasurers who continue to be responsible for these fines, there may be treasurers who are currently acting as treasurer and are responsible for these outstanding fines, since we do say that those people are responsible. And I'd like to know how we can get that information out as well, if for no other reason for candidates to know that they may or may not be able to count on their treasurers.
I can add that to the list.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
There honestly are times when someone comes in with their paperwork and I see who the treasurer is.
Yes, indeed.
I know that the money you are saving using this treasurer is going to come back to haunt you.
Because we see those names over and over again.
And I don't want to get a libel suit or anything like that, but I'd love to be able to. And I've even asked the Political Treasurers Association to self-police a little better.
Is it possible without creating a separate list of candidates running, but to, on the website, I just identify when someone is running for office if they have a fine?
Put that on the list.
Sure. I mean, I think generally we can look at this, and we will look at this. Disclosure requirements are going to be less of a concern. I think it's important that the commission goes through the proper process, whether that's issuing regulations or most likely amending legislation. to make clear that this is not the commission engaging in political activity and targeting individual candidates while they're running for office. And so the more this can sort of be written before there's any publication, the better.
And also notice time to clear up whatever outstanding debts they are before anything goes into effect. All of that can be part of any regulation. It seems to dovetail to also item number six on the agenda, the items for future meetings. So it might be, if it's at all possible, if there's room in December to squeeze that in. I know we're jammed for October and November.
Be after the election.
I think people do look at the non-filer list on the website sometimes, and that's a view. So I think we're trying to see if there's something we could amend to that, append to it, or have a, something like that, and then maybe look for other common outlets.
Perhaps a scarlet letter of some sort.
Yes, indeed. I know that in the past the press has covered this with regard to candidates, and I know it's, I have certainly been told it's of interest to at least some people in the public. It would require some research on the part of the public or the press to figure this out. And I imagine the questions will come to us as to what our knowledge is, what our position is. Would be good to have had some discussion about that.
And it, when there's candidates running who have, let's call it an obvious chance to win, I think it does do some good. You know, the first candidate there was paying off that debt regularly when status was as a candidate.
Exactly.
And the payments stopped off when the candidate
Yes.
came out.
Yes.
There is some impact.
Right. I agree. Thank
you. No surprise. Okay, so moving to item number six, items for future meetings. We've just talked about one for December. Anything else, people, you should let Commissioner Studley know. And keep in mind that whatever you want on the agenda, it's likely going to be December, January, because October and November look pretty jammed. Okay, moving to item number seven, public comment on matters appearing and not appearing on the agenda. There is no public, so I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.